Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Spiritual Success Podcast. Today I've got Erica Cuevas on the podcast, and she's actually a mentor of mine because last year I was in her multidimensional mediumship program, which she no longer runs because now she's actually training to become a medicine woman, as the title of the episode suggests. So you or I know this better as becoming a shaman, but she specifically avoids using this word, which we talk about in the episode. She touches on some issues about cultural appropriation, how she found her elders, and how she went on this journey to becoming a medicine woman. And she's had a very interesting journey indeed. So she's had a near-death experience where her soul left her body and then came back. She also had a massive tower moment, which is why she's had this career switch and why she's now on this new path, training to become a medicine woman. So a fascinating story. I really think you're going to enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Spiritual Success Podcast with me, Liz Roberta, a place for spiritual people who want to grow, learn, and succeed in life and in business. I'll be talking to successful spiritual entrepreneurs, authors, and thought leaders to understand what creates a meaningful and soul-aligned life. So come on in, lightworkers, this is your time to shine. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for asking me to come on. I'm so excited.
I'm excited because I know some of your story and I know you've had a massive transformation in the last year. I actually did your multidimensional mediumship program back in 2020. So you were my mentor for a month, taught me a great deal about mediumship and my starseed heritage and things like that. So I'm forever grateful for you for being one of my teachers.
Yes, that was seriously the best moment of my spiritual journey, was like being able to actually teach. So thank you for, you know, asking me to guide you during that time. And I learned so much from you as well. And I'm just so excited to be here today and like get to talk with you.
Yeah. So first of all, would you mind sharing your story with us? Because you've actually had a near-death experience, which is such a fascinating story. So can we start there?
Yeah, definitely. So we're actually coming up on 3 years since my near-death experience back in October. And before that, I was always very intuitive. But I never really considered myself like a medium or being able to communicate with spirit or ancestors until I had my accident. I was on a anniversary getaway with my now ex-husband, and it was my first weekend away being a new mom. I just had my son 4 months prior, and I woke up in the middle of the night and went to the restroom, and I felt really dizzy. And as I was sitting on the toilet, because I thought that would make me feel better, I literally just blacked out and fell face forward. And there was the tub right in front of the toilet. And so I hit my head on the bathtub, sprawled out on the bathroom floor, and I was out for about 4 minutes, maybe. And I had this out-of-body experience where I was hovering over myself and I was looking down and I could see my ex-husband came to my side and he was like trying to shake me to wake me up, and I wasn't waking up. And so then I'm just observing and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm dead. Is this how I die? Like on the bathroom floor of a hotel away from my family? And then I started thinking about work, and I'm like, why am I thinking about work? I'm dead. And then I started feeling like something was pulling my soul up, and my body started getting really weak. And as I feel like I'm ascending, basically up to heaven is what I think, I hear this voice, and this voice says, not yet. And then boom, I'm like back into my body and I'm like seizing up on the bathroom floor. And I could see, you know, myself, like my hand was twitching. Half my face felt like it was, you know, seizing as well. And it took me a minute to acclimate. And then my ex-husband asked, you know, oh my God, are you okay? I called the ambulance. They're here. They're coming. And the first thing I asked was someone talking to me? And he said, no. He was like, you were out. He was like, you weren't responding. And so that's why I called the ambulance. And so the ambulance took me, and in the ER, they ran tests to make sure I didn't have a concussion. They said I was a little bit dehydrated, so they gave me fluids. But other than that, all the tests came back fine, no concussion, sent me home after observing me for a couple of hours. And then, you know, coming back home, I still didn't feel right. Like, I knew something was off. And sure enough, later that week, I start having these dreams of these past loved ones coming to me with messages to deliver. And I don't know how I knew who they were related to, but I knew they were related to my coworkers at the school I was working at. And so, long story short, I kept pushing it off and I kept thinking, no, these are just dreams. I'm making this up. Like, this can't be real. And then the same past loved ones kept coming to me night after night that with the same messages until it made me say something to my coworkers. So I confided in the school secretary at my work, and she's very much spiritual. So I felt safe, you know, sharing that with her. And I said, you know, hey, you know, I keep getting this weird dream of the counselor's mom, who I guess passed away, and she has a message for him. And she told me, oh my God, you need to tell him, because he literally came into the office yesterday talking about his mom who had passed and wished that she would just come to him in a dream and tell him that she's okay. And I immediately knew, oh my God, like, this is her. This is her coming in through a dream, wanting to tell him that she's okay. And she had other messages for him. And so him and I were good friends, and I knew he wouldn't judge me if I even approached him with this. But this isn't the typical lunch talk that we normally would discuss. So I shared with him, you know, all the messages, and I just prefaced with, I don't know your mom. I don't know, you know, anything about your life, but this is what was coming through. And I was sharing all of these details. And the final detail I was going to leave out because it didn't make sense to me. And, you know, with mediumship and with channeling, you know, you'll receive symbols or messages that sometimes don't make sense to you, but it makes sense to the client or the person that you're delivering the message. At the time, I didn't know that. And in that moment, I could see her in my mind's eye coming in and pushing that symbol and saying, you need to say this. And the symbol was this image of a little blue bike. And it was being ridden by a little boy on a driveway with a yellow house in the back. And that's all I saw. And I said, okay, I'm gonna say this. It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it'll make sense to you, but I can't leave here without saying it. As soon as I said it, he immediately starts crying. And he says, what you're describing is a video of my son who my mom used to watch every single day. And ever since her passing, I've shown my son this video of her pushing him in his little blue bike in front of her yellow house so that way he doesn't forget about her. And then I start immediately crying because I'm like, oh my God. I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to share that image that was coming in because it didn't make sense to me. But that is what really solidified the whole message for him. And it made him a believer in being able to communicate with past loved ones and our ancestors. And it was just such a beautiful experience that was the catalyst for me really pursuing my mediumship abilities and continuing to grow my gifts. So yeah, every time this time of year comes around in October, I'm always reminded of like where it all started and where I'm at now. And I'm just so grateful for all of the people that have been a part of my journey and my growth, because without those experiences, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So thank you for being a part of that journey too.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm just so glad that we connected. And like I said at the beginning, when I, you know, found you, when I worked with you, you were doing a different line of work than you're doing now. And that's the next thing I really want to talk about, is this huge shift that you had in 2021, because it's a really spectacular story. We were talking about it just before we started recording, because what happened was just so fateful. I'm getting full body goosebumps as I say that, because it was basically a freak accident which spun you onto a completely different path, a whole new trajectory on your spiritual journey and your career journey. So can you tell us what happened there? Because it's a really incredible story.
Yeah. So I started offering my spiritual services on Instagram as soon as COVID hit. And I was growing my gifts. I was putting myself out there and eventually offered my mentorship program. And then, you know, was building myself up on Instagram, and then an impersonator decided to create a fake account with all my pictures, all my videos. And for whatever reason, Instagram totally shut my account down by mistake and left the impersonator's account up. And it was literally like a tower moment, like in the Rider-Waite tarot deck, like that card. Everything felt like it was falling apart. I felt like I lost connection with my friends, my community, my spiritual business. But it was literally a blessing in disguise, because months prior to that happening, I had been praying and trying to manifest, working with an indigenous elder through shamanic healing. That's really where my soul was being called to pursue studying next. And I couldn't find anyone that I really resonated with. But that same week that my account went down, I literally found an indigenous elder of my dreams that I've been praying for. And his name is Don Alejandro Apaza Flores from the Quetzo Inca Nation from the high Andes of Peru. And I've been working with him since May. And I've gone through one initiation. I'm coming up on my next one in 2 weeks. And it's really been such a beautiful journey. It's like, I feel like it's been the next chapter of my spiritual awakening in a sense. And what's interesting with working with him is this is an actual like open practice. A lot of the shamanic healing practices sometimes are closed, but the Quetzos just recently opened theirs to teach people who are not of their direct lineage. And because they see such a need in the world right now for healing and to share their ancient indigenous teachings with others, so that way we can help heal the earth. And so that's what really drew me into working with them, because it ties into this whole new earth movement of where people are coming back to their roots, coming back to their connection to earth, to each other, to all living beings, being in right relationship and sacred reciprocity. Where for so many years, you know, due to capitalism and colonization, we've been extracting so much from our earth. And so it's really been like this missing piece, part of my journey that I'm so grateful that I found. But what I wanted to say about working with them, before working with them, they do a ceremony because they just won't work with anyone. They have to connect with spirit and their guides. And a divination tool that they use is called coca leaves. So they literally look like bay leaves. Here in America, we call them bay leaves. But coca leaves are illegal in America due to their association with the drug cocaine. But in Peru, they are a native delicacy. Like it's a food that they use as an immune booster, and it's part of the culture. And so they also use it as a divination tool where they will grab them in their hands, hold their intention, and then they'll throw the leaves down. And depending on how the leaves fall, they determine whether you would be a good fit to work with them. And so they do this. It's like a consultation they do for each person that's wanting to learn from them. So they did mine. And one of the leaves was like turned crooked, and then another leaf was like off, like far away. And I'm like, uh-oh, that doesn't look good. And he says, oh, part of your soul is not with you right now. And I said, what? I go, we had an interpreter. And so I said, you know, what does he mean by that? And she's like, well, you know, that could be due to past traumas in your life, you know, near-death experiences, divorce, you know, anything. I'm like, oh yeah, check, check. Like, yep, had that. And so I said, well, I really would love to learn from him. And he said, okay, if that is something you're still wanting to pursue, I would recommend a soul retrieval. And so that's when I had a soul retrieval session with him, which was the catalyst for this new journey. And I was able to retrieve part of my soul from my near-death experience. So it kind of was this full circle moment meeting them, because it helped me to revisit and heal that trauma that I had that I wasn't even aware that I still needed to heal. And during that whole process of the meditation and the soul retrieval, I was receiving visions about my soul returning. And I literally the next day felt energetically different. And I felt stronger too. And I knew this was the right path for me. And so I'm just so grateful for that experience and being able to work with him. It was really important to me to find an indigenous elder that is still very rooted in the traditional teachings, because so often, as you know, in the spiritual community or in other practices, shamanism or shamanic healing, it has been whitewashed and it has been very disconnected from the original teachings, the original teachers that grew up with these medicines and wisdom. So it's been a part of my decolonial journey as well. I've been working with my other teacher, Citlali. I like to call her Professor Citlali Anahuac. And she goes by Mexican Excellence on Instagram. And she offers these e-decolonized courses where she goes over the history, America's history related to indigenous peoples of America, and really helping people who identify as Latino, Hispanic, Mexican, American, reclaim their indigenous roots with the understanding of, you know, this is the history of what happened to our people. And it's been so eye-opening for me, because it's really helped me to connect back to my own roots and my family's story. So having both of these teachers on this path, coming back home to myself, has really been so transformational and such a huge part of where I see myself going, is like merging, coming back to my true identity, my soul's identity, and helping others do the same.
Oh my goodness, there's so much I want to dig into. I just have so many questions that I want to ask you. So first of all, I want to go back to your story because you mentioned your initiation. Are you allowed to share anything about the initiation process?
Yeah. What would you like me to share? Like the process?
How long does it take? What does it include?
Yeah. So in the Keto Inca Nation, they actually don't use the word shaman. Their indigenous word that they use is called Nusta Paco. So for me, since I'm a female, I would be called a Nusta Paco, and a male would be called an Inca Paco. And so a Paco would be equivalent to a shaman. And so the process of the initiation, there's actually three initiations that you will go through during this journey working with them. And what I really loved about it was that the first class we had, he said, this is a lifelong journey, so there's no rush in trying to get to each initiation. If it takes you longer than others, that's okay, because they really want people to be fully dedicated to this path. This isn't just like a weekend workshop where you get a certificate. He's like, this is a relationship that we're building throughout your journey, your life. And I really appreciated that, because I feel like any spiritual sacred practice should be a lifelong journey. And you should have, you know, like an elder or somewhat a mentor that you keep in contact with that keeps you accountable. Especially when you are learning indigenous teachings, that it remains sacred and pure and true to the original teachings. So he has three initiations. The first initiation was, it's called a Munai Carpe, and Munai means love, and the Carpe is the journey. And so it's really opening up the heart center, the heart chakra, and being open to healing through love. And the teachings went on for about 5 or 6 sessions. We would meet once a week online through Zoom. And we had like homework. So we had to like do meditations. We had to identify within our own city or environment that we're currently living in, we had to identify the like the four directions and the sacred temples around us in order to call in those energy centers when we're doing our own healings. So they work with the spirits of nature. So like I mentioned, the four directions, they each have an animal ally that's associated with each of those directions. And then there's an understanding that there are three dimensions. So there's the lower realm, the underworld, and that is governed by a god and goddess named Inca Huasca and Mama Sirena. And so they don't believe in hell. They believe in this lower realm where there's dense energy, lower vibrational energy that gets transmuted, alchemized, and then brought back up to the light. And so that's the dimension and the realm where if we do any like cleansings on people, we will use that realm and dimension to like send that energy down there. So that way the sacred spirits who govern that realm can transmute it and heal it. And then there's the middle realm, which is where we live here on Earth, and that is Kai Pacha. And that's where, you know, humans, all the living beings, animal allies, where we commune. And then there is the Hana Pacha, which is equivalent to like heaven, right? The light realm. That is where we draw our call in, you know, protection or healing energy during any healing work that we're doing with clients. So those are kind of like the basic understandings of what we're working with within this lineage. There's a lot more to it than that, but those are the foundations of what we learn for our first initiation. So after the 5 weeks of studying, then we have our initiation set up where it's a long distance initiation where my elder, he will journey to a mountain in Peru and he will create a ceremony and it's called a despacho. And a despacho is basically a sacred offering and ceremony that he creates on behalf of my name. And it's created, it's so beautiful. There are red and white carnation petals that are on the perimeter. Then within that, there are seeds, cookies, candies. Everything is very symbolic within the despacho, within the offering. And it represents the elements and the sacred spirits that they work with. So they will meditate with it, you know, pray with it, and then they will burn it. And so that becomes the offering to Pachamama, to the sacred spirits. And then in that moment of when he's doing this, I am in deep meditation. I have to prepare days before with like eating a very clean diet, you know, no garlic, no, what else? They send like a email with like the do's and don'ts, being out in nature, even, you know, during the initiation, being out in nature, being by myself. We do our own mini offerings. It's called a quintu offering. It's where we give three bay leaves or three rose leaves, and it's paired with like, you could put a flower with it, and it serves as your offering to the land, to Pachamama, and you're asking permission to be there, to connect with her, and to be open to receiving, you know, whatever healing wants to come through. And so during that time, you're just kind of open to receiving. It kind of feels like an upgrade, like an energetic upgrade, I guess you could say, because I'm just receiving so many messages through all of my senses. After my first initiation, I was just so energetically tired. I literally took a nap and then spent the rest of the day alone, really being in that energy. They recommend that you stay away from anyone and really just be in your own energy, allow it to integrate. Because traditionally, the Pacos in Peru, they would spend 8 days alone in isolation, away from everyone, in order to allow that energy to really integrate. And it becomes, I guess, more potent and powerful within your aura. So that was what my first initiation was like. And so now, you know, I've going on to my next one. And so there's different teachings with each level. And it's just been so wonderful. Like, I've never experienced anything like it in my life. Yeah.
So you said before that not anyone can train to be a shaman. How did you find this teacher? Did you go to Peru? Were they on Instagram? What was that process like of finding the right teacher for you and the right lineage to train in?
Yeah. So, you know, with technology today and, you know, all of this information on the internet, pretty much anyone can learn about shamanism. People will claim to be shamans and, you know, try to capitalize using those titles. But like I said before, it was really important to me to find an indigenous elder that was still very much rooted in the traditional teachings. So it was hard to find anyone like that on Instagram or Facebook. And so I literally found them one day just looking up, like on the internet, away from Instagram, away from Facebook. I looked up, I don't even know how I even landed on it, but I looked up Peru because I was really drawn to it. I didn't know why. And then I saw different schools. And so I thought, okay, well, that seems aligned. Like, I want this to be a lifelong journey. So a school makes sense. And then I found Inca School of Medicine. And I thought, oh my God, okay. And then I noticed they didn't have, like, they had a website, but it, you needed to go through like their interpreter. So I emailed the interpreter, and it took a while for them to get back to me. And so literally that same week my account went down on Instagram was when I received the email back. And so I thought, okay, this isn't a coincidence. Like, I know this was happening for a reason. And yeah, so I feel that, you know, they have their process of identifying who they feel drawn to working with, who they want to connect with, who they want to teach, which I appreciate, you know, because this is sacred work, and it should be for people who are serious about this path, and they're not just looking to get a, you know, a certificate to add to their spiritual resume, right? Or another title to add to their bio on Instagram. So yeah, there's obviously so many other shamanic schools out there. You know, like one that I was looking at was called the Four Winds, I believe. That one's very popular. But as I looked into a lot of these other schools, they didn't have teachers who were indigenous. They didn't have teachers who were still connected to these communities, to these teachings. And as I've been learning with the Kedos, I realize just how, yeah, disconnected it can get. You know, this information can get lost in translation, you know, because their language that they speak within their nation, the Kedo Nation, is Quechua. And Quechua is an indigenous language similar to Spanish, but it's different. And a lot of these lineages of earth-based medicine come from communities that don't necessarily speak English or Spanish. They have their own native languages within their tribes and villages. So the history of the study of shamanism is kind of recent, right? As I've been doing my own research on what shamanism is and isn't, it's really interesting to hear and read that it was studied, right? That term was kind of coined in academia with anthropologists, archaeologists, psychologists who would go to these native lands in the Amazon, South America, or even in North America. And they would, you know, immerse themselves within these communities and, you know, for maybe a couple weeks, right? Maybe a month, I don't know. And they would kind of get information or study how they lived, what they used, what their ceremonies were like. And then they would go back to America or wherever they're from and then write books about it, their own interpretation, and then capitalize off of these indigenous teachings without giving credit. I mean, they would name the tribe, but they wouldn't be in right relationship by giving back, you know, like whatever they made from that book. Or, you know, if people wanted to learn about these teachings, they would kind of create their own schools or their own workshops instead of referring them to the original carriers of these medicines, the original teachers. And so that's where that disconnect comes from. That's where the kind of the whitewashing comes into play. And so then it becomes, they hold workshops, they teach, and then these students then go on to teach what they were taught. So it, like, it gets so lost. And that's, you know, what I noticed. And I know for a lot of these people, there's good intention, right? People just want to heal and feel connected. But it's so important to be in right relationship with these original teachings, these original carriers of this medicine, because shamanism, the way it is now, it really contributes to the erasure of their original cultures and teachings. So that's why it was really so important for me to find Don Alejandro from the Quero Inca Nation.
So you specifically call yourself a medicine woman and not a shaman. Why is that?
You know, at first I thought, being the naive, naive, misguided beginning of my spiritual awakening, I used to use that term, shaman, because it was in like oracle decks, right? Like even in spiritual teachings that we would learn about, like online. And I just thought, oh, that is the term, you know, the term for a person that is a mystic, a person that walks between realms, a healer. But after doing the research offline, right, off of Instagram, away from Facebook, really looking at articles that were written by universities, Google Scholar is a great resource. I understood how harmful that word actually is. And it's kind of like this big umbrella term. It's like a global term, you know. Shamanism is known worldwide. And although, yes, the root of that word comes from like Siberia, right? There are tribes and communities who do use the word shaman to describe their elders. But it is not the same title that is used for all indigenous communities who use earth-based healing modalities and medicines. And so it was really important to me to use a term like medicine woman that I feel describes, you know, who my ancestors were or how they studied these type of shamanic healing practices. And so medicine woman felt more aligned for me, because that in a way is kind of like the female version of a shaman in modern times, right? If we're going to use shaman, I feel like medicine woman is more appropriate for myself to use.
So for anyone listening who's thinking, wow, this sounds absolutely amazing, I really feel called to become a shaman, go down this route of training myself, what would you recommend is the proper way to go about finding a lineage, finding a teacher while being respectful of traditions?
Definitely. I would say the number one thing to look for when you are interested in learning shamanic healing from anyone is to ask what lineage they are studying under or what lineage they learned from. When you're looking to find a teacher, ask them what lineage they study under. Then ask, are they currently still in communication with their elder or their teacher? And then ask, how many years have they been studying this practice? Those are really great questions to ask, because nowadays a lot of people will capitalize on the word shaman and they'll put that in their bio, but they really have no training. They really have no mentor or elder that they've learned under. So that's a great way to navigate and discern who are like the fake neo shamans and the real deal. Like my elder, Don Alejandro, and his school, they will use the word shaman because they know that in the Western world, that is the global term. And so in order to reach people or to have people understand what they're teaching, they will use the word shaman, shamanic practitioner, shamanic healing within their posts. But he makes it a point to say within the first class, we don't use the word shaman. You are a Paco. You are a Nusta Paco. You are an Inca Paco. But yeah, so that would be my best advice when looking for a mentor or even a school, looking at, do they have people who are within direct lineage of those practices that they are teaching? Or are these people who have learned from people who are of direct lineage? Because then you can kind of see how disconnected it can get from the original teachings. And also very important to note that in order to be in right relationship with a lot of these lineages, it's important not to mix the teachings if you are offering services. It's good to use within your own spiritual practice, right? Like people will use yoga, you know, people will use Reiki, like Japanese Osui Reiki, the South Asian practice of meditation. Like that's fine, right? You're using it within your own spiritual practice within your home. You're not selling anything. But when it gets to where you're capitalizing and selling services, it's so important not to mix these medicines. At least that's my perspective. In order to be in right relationship, be respectful of these teachings. You know, you stay within one lineage and you name the teacher, you name that lineage. So I'll get off my soapbox now, but that is my advice of what I've learned over the last few months that I've been on this journey.
That's such great advice. So thank you for sharing those tips. And you mentioned earlier about the new earth. So you've had your first initiation, you've got more to come. What is your vision for the future doing this work? And what does the new earth mean to you?
Yeah, so I feel that the new earth is part of this great awakening we are all experiencing right now. The new earth will be birthed through us by us coming home to ourselves, realizing how connected we all really are, coming back to love. Love being the root of where we make all decisions for all beings, being in right relationship with the land, with the sacred elements, with Mother Earth. There is this term within the Quero Inca Nation that my elder uses, and it's widely used within Andean cosmovision, is Aini. You spell it A-Y-N-I. And that is sacred reciprocity. So when I give, I know I will receive. And when I receive, I give. So it's this constant flow of balance, bringing balance and harmony back into the earth, back into our relationships with each other. And that is the flow of life. And I really feel like that is what we're being asked to return back to, is these ancient ways of living and being. And that is what I feel the new earth at its core is.
The last question, which is one I ask everyone, what's your favorite thing about doing this work?
Just being reminded of what a blessing it is to be alive at this time. in being able to connect with so many different people who have all of these different experiences that are just adding to my own life, to my own journey. Like I said in the beginning, where every single person, every single experience I've had has helped me to grow into the person that I am today. And that's what I love about this work, is that even in the smallest experiences, those turn out to be the biggest. They make the biggest impact. And I think that is really what I love about this work, meeting beautiful people like yourself and having opportunities like this.
Oh, so incredible. You're such an inspiration. Where can people find you?
Thank you. People can find me on Instagram at new.earth.erica. I had to rebrand everything once my tower moment happened. So I don't currently have a website, but after my next initiation, I do plan on offering soul retrievals. So I'll be able to do those online through distance on Zoom. And I will hopefully be offering that by late fall.
Oh my goodness. I'm definitely guessing one of those. I can't wait.
Yes, I need to practice on people. So yeah, I can practice on you.
Please, that sounds incredible. I've had readings from you before, and I know this is something totally different, but they were so incredible and just came true literally like the next day for one of the things you said. So just so amazing. Such a great connection to spirit.
Thank you so much. Oh, yeah. I love this work. I'm excited to just continue learning and sharing. And thank you again for having me. I love talking with you and sharing all of this spiritual stuff.
Thank you so much, Erica. This has been amazing.
Yes. Thank you for having me. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and please remember to subscribe to this podcast. I'm sure that like me, you would love for more people to know this information. So if you leave a review and send me a screenshot of it on Instagram, which is at I Am Ms. Roberta, you'll get a $50 voucher code to use on one of my online course launches. This won't be around forever, so go and leave a review now, and I'll see you next time.